Welcome to our podcast, Carefully Examining the Text. In our podcast today, we examine Psalm 100, a brief but beautiful psalm called A Psalm for Thanksgiving. The New American Standard reads, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 100 is first about the Lord. The Hebrew term Yahweh is used in verse 1, and 2, and 3, and verse 5. It is about the Lord. It is about God. And there are seven imperatives in this psalm. In verse 1, shout joyfully. In verse 2, serve. In verse 2, come. In verse 3, know. In verse 4, enter, give thanks, and bless. And you notice that the psalm is filled with joy. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Verse 2, serve Him with gladness. In verse 2, come before Him with joyful singing. In verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. So we enter the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving, with praise. The gladness of worship is emphasized. The joy of worship is emphasized in this brief but beautiful psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 1 says, the word shout joyfully just indicates a loud shout. It was the shout when Israel was shouting at the walls of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. But we shout joyfully to the earth, and our God is God of all the earth. He is a cosmic sovereign. And because He is a cosmic sovereign, a cosmic God, He deserves a cosmic response. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. The phrase serve the Lord is used here and in Psalm 2 verse 11, and perhaps those are the only two times in the book of Psalms this is used. The word for serve indicates to orient our whole life to someone. A servant might orient his whole life to his master. His purpose, his goal, his desire is to do his master's will. And our desire, our purpose, our longing is to do His will, the Lord's will. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. And come into His presence with joyful singing. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord Himself is God. The Lord Himself is God. The emphatic personal pronoun, He, is used twice in Psalm 100 in verse 3. He Himself is God, and it is He who made us, both emphasizing God and His work and what He has done. Know that the Lord, He is God. In the book of Ezekiel, there is a phrase that appears repeatedly, that they may know that I am the Lord. We could give many references to illustrate that, but there are Four times in Ezekiel 6, you read the phrase, that they may know that I am the Lord, in verse 7, verse 10, verse 13, and verse 14. Here it is stated, not as an indicative, but as an imperative, know that the Lord, He is God. And that kind of construction emphasizes how the Lord alone fulfills this claim to be God. This type of construction is used in Deuteronomy 4 in verse 25. To you it has been shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God, and there is no other besides Him. In Deuteronomy 4:39, know therefore today and take it to heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath, and there is no other besides Him. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His loving kindness and faithfulness to 1,000 generations. And you remember in 1 Kings 8, verse 39, as the Lord answered Elijah's prayer and sent fire down to consume his sacrifice, and the people shouted, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Know that the Lord, He is God, and it is He who made us." Now, some of your translations have, "It is He who made us and not we ourselves," as in the New American Standard. The English Standard Version has, "It is He who made us and we are His." There's a question of how best to translate this particular text, but obviously, we are not responsible for our own existence. Everyone you see walking around is a product of a relationship between a man and a woman. We are not responsible for our own existence. And mankind collectively is not responsible for his own existence. But he is dependent upon a maker, upon a creator, and it is the Lord Himself who made us. We are His. We are His. It is not our life to do with as we want, but the God who made us wants us to walk in His will, wants us to do what's pleasing in His sight, and He will richly reward those who do. The Lord Himself is God. Know Him. It is He who made us, and we're not responsible for our own existence. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are God's people. We are God's sheep. Now, the idea of God as shepherd is one that appears frequently in the Psalms. In Psalm 23, the most famous statement, "The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You also see it in Psalm 73, in verse 79, verse 13, Psalm 80, and verse 1, and many other times. We saw it in Psalm 95, in verse 7, "The Lord is our shepherd." We are His people, and He is our shepherd. And one of the images of the relationship between a shepherd and sheep is the shepherd carries the sheep in his arms, as you see in Psalm 28 and verse 9. And we enter His gates, verse 4, with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Notice the parallelism between the word thanksgiving and praise. We enter His gates. We enter His courts. We give thanks to Him. We know He is the one who created us, and He is the one responsible for every blessing we have. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, as verse 5 will say. But verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. In the midst of an emphasis on Thanksgiving Day, we must never forget the one to whom we owe all things. To whom are we directing our thanks? Every time when we enter His gates and His courts in worship, every time we enter His house to praise His name, we are giving thanks to Him and blessing His name as the one responsible for every good thing. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Really, verses 1 through 4 are a call to praise and a call to know Him. And verse 5 tells us why we're to do that. Because He's good, because of His loving kindness, and because of His faithfulness. Marvin Tate states that this is the only verse in the psalm that calls together all three of these characteristics: the Lord's goodness, the Lord's loving kindness, and the Lord's faithfulness. But this particular statement, the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, is similar to how Psalm 106 begins. Psalm 107 begins this way. Psalm 118, Psalm 136 all begin this way. The Lord is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting. And this is a song that can be traced through Israel's history for hundreds of years. In 1 Chronicles 16, in verse 34, they sang this song in moving the ark to Jerusalem in the days of David. They sang this song when the temple was completed and fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifices, in 2 Chronicles 5 in verse 13 and 2 Chronicles 7 in verses 1 through 3. That was in the days of Solomon. They sang this song on the battlefield in the days of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 21. And they sang this song when the foundation of the temple was laid after they returned from captivity in Ezra 3 and verse 11. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. His loving kindness is everlasting. Do you remember the question in Psalm 77 verse 8? Has His loving kindness ceased forever? Do you remember what Psalm 89 and verse 49 ask? Where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? In Psalm 77, 8, in Psalm 89, verse 49, it seemed like God's loving kindness and God's faithfulness have ceased. But we are reminded in Psalm 100, in verse 5, that His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. The loving kindness, the faithfulness of the Lord never ends. What does this psalm tell us about Jesus? Well, the Bible says, know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us. Our Creator, our Maker is God. And Jesus, in John 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible tells us, is Creator. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. He is God. Interestingly, in verse 2, people are called to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. But the verb that is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, was directed to our service toward Jesus Christ in Colossians 3:24. The point is because Jesus is God. Because He is God, He is worthy of service, of the service of all the earth. And He is the one that's God, is our shepherd. In the Old Testament, shepherds were bold and brave and risked their lives against violent animals. Like David fought with the lion and bear in 1 Samuel 17. But they lived, often they lived, David lived to tell the story. Jesus, as the good shepherd, died for the sheep. He wasn't just willing to. He didn't just risk His life. He died for the sheep. John 10, verses 1 through 18. The one who is our Creator is our shepherd, who was willing to give His life for the sheep. And we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. The word that was used for enter in the Greek translation in Psalm 100 and verse 4 is used in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. And Matthew 7 verse 21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. That's Matthew 7, 21, and Matthew 7, 13, and 14. The Bible says, enter through the straight gate, for broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter at it, but straight is the gate, and narrow the way that leads to life. All the earth in Psalm 100 is invited to sing, make noise to the Lord, make a joyful noise to the Lord, and to enter His gates with thanksgiving. All the world is invited, but relatively few accept the invitation. Friend, the invitation to enter God's gates and His courts is given to you. God has given you an invitation with your name on it. Will you accept it? May the Lord bless you and keep you.